Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence. If you've got your Bibles today, I want you to find Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. We're going to be reading verses 19 through 24. It's Matthew 6. 19 through 24. We're continuing our sermon series called Burn the Ships, where we're looking at things in our life that we need to get rid of, that we need to, as I've said, burn to the ground so that we can continue moving forward with the Lord. And so today we want to continue that. So over the last couple weeks, we've looked at several different things. The first week, we looked at this idea of how bad company can enter our life from time to time and can kind of persuade us or move us to do things that don't honor the Lord. And so we've got to get rid of those relationships. We've looked at how comparison is deadly because it creates a false sense of what is good and right, and then creates unrealistic expectations. We looked at complaining. And then we've looked at complacency. I don't know about you. Did anybody have an issue with complaining this week? Did anybody? I did. And you want to know who helped me figure out I didn't think I had an issue with complaining. But someone I live with did. See, what had happened was we were talking about something coming up in the future unrelated to church. And I started letting it roll. And I had this shirt on that I got at this youth event that we had several years ago that says, I think Jacob's got one, says, I am a Christian. And it's like my knock around the house shirt. It's a long sleeve shirt. I don't wear long sleeve shirts a ton. I was a little cool that day, a little cool in the house. So I had on shorts and a long sleeve shirt. And I mean, I'm letting it go. I mean, I'm, and she's sitting over there on the couch going, oh, really? Oh. I'm like, what? No, nothing. And when, I don't know if y'all have realized this, guys, I hope you have, but when that happens, you usually in trouble, right? And so I knew something wasn't right, and she said, all right. I said, what? She said, you need to scribble out some letters on that shirt and put selfish. I am selfish. And I'm like, what? Am I complaining? And she went, maybe. And in that moment, I realized Pastor Travis needed to remember his sermon from last week and refocus on what was the real problem and go forward and not complain, right? I don't know if any of you struggled with complaining last week, but I did. And so we had to work through that at the Graham household. I appreciate my wife helping me out with that. Today, we're going to talk about something different. We're going to talk about compromise. Compromise, all right? So today's topic is compromise. Here's the thing that I realized about compromise. Compromise, unlike anything else we've talked about, has good and bad sides to it, right? Because compromise, I don't know if you're a student of history, you know that sometimes compromise has moved history forward. In our country alone, if you study early American history, you'll realize there are two compromises that were big political dealings back in the 1800s. The first one was the Missouri Compromise of 1820, which was a big balance of power between free states and slave states. And it was a compromise around Missouri. And Missouri wanted to enter the United States as a slave state, but that would undo the balance of power. And so then the compromise was to allow Maine to become a free state. And so it was a compromise, so both sides of the equation got what they want. 30 years later in American history, there's another big compromise, the Compromise of 1850, which is a legislation that was started out really big, imagine that, like gargantuan legislation, and it was whittled down to five areas that dealt with California and the border of Texas and some other things, and ultimately it kind of unfortunately set the table for the events that would happen a decade later, which would kind of be the start of the Civil War. But at that time, it seemed like a really good thing. And so it moved the ball down the road just a little bit. And so compromise can be a very good thing, right? You know this in your own life. For example, men, when your wife says, hey, where do you want to go to eat? That's about to be a compromising situation. You want to know why? He says, here's what I've learned about Holly. Holly already knows where she wants to go to eat. It is what she's trying to do in that moment is to get me to go where she wants to go, but she's going to ask me, so it seems like it's my idea to go eat Mexican, but she wanted to go eat Mexican from the beginning. So you know what I do? I turn the tables on. I say, hey, I want to go wherever you want to go. Compromise. Right? Compromise. In politics, compromise can be a good thing too. We saw that last year, I think, where both sides, it was a multi-party act to redo criminal justice reform. That was a good thing, right? However, compromise, unlike anything we else have talked about, has a good side, but it also has a disastrous side. There's a story in the Bible in Judges 13 through 16. You can go back and read it later at home. I'm going to give you the highlights of it this morning. It deals with this guy named Samson. Now, Samson was a huge figure in the Old Testament in the book of Judges. In fact, he was a really big guy as well. He did amazing things to help Israel defeat their enemies, the Philistines. But he was supposed to be different than anybody else. Samson, from birth, was supposed to be set apart. He was supposed to be different. He was supposed to live differently than anybody else. However, the problem with Samson was he continually compromised his values, his integrities, and his core beliefs. At every turn in the story of Samson, in those three chapters, Samson is compromising on what he believes. And you can go back and read it. It's over and over and over and over again. Until ultimately, one day, all of those compromises catch up with him. And at the end of the story, we see this gargantuan figure of Samson who's huge, who's tore the mouth off a lion with his bare hands. Imagine that, kids. Just like ripped a lion in two. They got to have some strength to do that. He's killed a bunch of Philistines, helping the Israelites from their oppressive reign in Israel. But at the end of the story, in chapter 16, Samson is not a hero. He's blind and seemingly powerless, pushing a grain mill around like a caged animal. Because that's what donkeys did. You tied up a donkey to this mill and it went around in a circle and it would grind the grain. But now we see Samson blind. They've poked his eyes out and he's just pushing this grain mill around. Now, the end of the story ends a little bit better because God does redeem Samson and he does a valiant, an act of valor at the end of his life. But all of those compromises, think about the question I always had to ask was, what could Samson have done if he would have never made any of those comments? How great could he have been? What things could he have done? How far could he have taken the country of Israel if he simply just would have been obedient and followed God's word and never compromised on any of those things? So see, compromise, unlike anything we've talked about so far, unlike complacency, unlike comparison, unlike complaining and bad company, unlike anything we've talked about, listen to me, can have very good side and a very bad side. So here's the question. This is going to be our key question today that we're going to look at, and then we're going to jump in our verses. How do we know the difference between the two? How do we determine the difference between the two? So the idea is, you know, we've had things that, you know, we've had things that, you know, these ideas come into our lives and they dock in the harbor of our lives. And so imagine. Compromises out there, and it's like a ship going around the harbor of your life. And sometimes it can come in, and it can be a good thing, like when your wife wants you to choose the restaurant she already wants to go to. But then it can also have disastrous consequences if it deals with your morality and your integrity and your character. So here's the question. If we're going to have to deal with compromise for the rest of our life, and we will, how do we determine which is a good one and which is a bad one? How do we determine if it's okay to make a compromise on something? And how do we determine if it's not okay? That's a pretty big question, right? Because kids, teenagers, you're going to face things that it's going to be okay to compromise on. And then you're going to face things that you don't ever need to compromise on. So how do we determine the two? Well, actually our verses in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24, they will give us the answer. All right, here we go. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys or where thieves do not break in and steal. Listen, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, before we unpack this, I'm going to remind you of one little tidbit. These words from Jesus are spoken in what's known as the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus speaks the Sermon on the Mount to believers, that is people who are following Him, okay? People who are following Him, and He tells these three chapters, chapter 5, 6, and 7, that make up the Sermon on the Mount, they are about kingdom ethics. Say it with me. Kingdom ethics. And what that means is, how do I live for Jesus in everyday life? That's what it means. That's all that Jesus is saying. So whatever Jesus is going to tell us is going to deal with everyday life, like compromise. All right, so let's unpack this verse. There are these verses. Jesus, what he's saying in here is kind of like a logic equation, because he lists several things, all right? He's talking about storing up treasure and where your treasure is, there your heart is, and he talks about your focus of your eye, then he talks about your heart, and then your master. And so what he's doing, if I could boil this down really quickly, okay? Listen to me. Kids, listen to me. If I could boil this down really quickly, Jesus is saying, whatever goes on the inside of our lives, listen to me, reveals who our master, who our leader, who our boss, or who is the director of our lives. Right? He says, where your eye focuses, that's what you take in. So our focus is somehow connected to where our heart is. And he says, what you focus on is where your treasure is. And where your treasure is, there your heart is. And where your heart is, that's who's leading your life. And so all of these things are connected. Have you ever noticed that the thing you focus on is usually the thing you do? Where your perception or your perspective is, that's what you see. Therefore, that's what you take in. What you're looking for is what you often find. You ever seen that in your own life? My greatest example of this is when Holly and I, right before Tucker was born, we bought a gold Honda Odyssey van. I never in my wildest dreams would ever I have thought we would have driven a minivan. I wasn't a minivan person growing up. My dad had a truck, my mom had a Tahoe, and then I looked at price tags and I was like, we'll take the minivan. The used minivan, by the way, right? We love that minivan. But no joke, the minute we drove off the lot in Athens, Georgia with our gold minivan, from that lot to the house, I noticed three. You know how many I noticed before then? Zero. You want to know why? I wasn't looking for minivans, right? What you look for is what you take in, and what you take in affects you. And so what you treasure, what you spend your time, effort, energy, and money on shows me where you're at and shows Jesus where you're at. And all of that that goes on the inside of our life reveals who is in control of our lives. Where you spend your time, effort, energy, and money, what you take in, where your heart is, where the core of your being is, that reveals who you are, who is your master. And I know some of you in here today are wildly independent. And you're like, right? American spirit at its best. All of us in here today, Jesus says, you can only have one master. Meaning all of us are led by someone or something, and you can't have two at the same time. There was a popular bumper sticker back when I was in late 80s, early 90s, that said, God is my co-pilot. I don't know if you remember seeing that. Well, I thought that was a cool bumper sticker. I was like, man, that sounds awesome. Until my pastor explained that was a terrible bumper sticker, right? Because co-pilots mean both of you have equal control. And what Jesus says in this passage, that ain't the truth. You got one, and it's either him or something else. And so no matter where we're at this morning, no matter what's going on in our life, something is leading our life. Something is leading and directing where we are and what we are doing. And it's either God or somebody or someone else. So that's what Jesus is saying in Matthew 6, 9 through 24. We together so far? Yes? No? Do I need to say it again? We good? Okay. All right. Now, let's apply that principle to our question. Let's rehash. What was our question? How do we know when comparison is okay and when compromise. I got all my calm words mixed up there. How do we know when compromise is okay and when compromise is not okay? Let's apply our principle we learned here. And here's kind of the thing you need to ask yourself. Is this decision, is this compromise going to cause me to serve someone other than God? Listen to me. When you're faced with a decision and you're wondering, is this okay to do this? Is it not okay to do this? The thing that needs to run through your mind, is this decision going to cause me to serve someone other than God? I love a good illustration. I love kind of like put this some rubber beats the road. Put this where it counts in our lives. And so I give a few illustrations here this morning. Number one, let's go back to the restaurant. If Holly wants to go eat Mexican and I want to go eat Chinese, am I compromising my relationship with the Lord by saying, it's okay if we go eat Mexican? No. So is it okay for me to compromise on where we go eat? Absolutely. Is it okay for her to compromise and say, you know what, I really want to go eat Mexican, but you know what, we'll go where you want to go tonight. Yes. Whenever that might happen, right? Yes. Because we're not serving someone other than God by going to a different restaurant, right? What about this one? What about another illustration? What about church decisions? Listen to this. What about they haven't said this is a hypothetical situation. So don't go run out here saying, just listen, this is an illustration. It's not real. Let's say Mr. Robert and properties team came back and said, we need new carpet in the sanctuary. They have not said that, just so I'm clear. But let's just assume they did for a second. And let's say some of you wanted to keep green carpet and some of you wanted to keep blue carpet. And then somebody, some crazy person, wanted to design on the carpet. Whoa, like a pattern, you know, like all those little foofy things, right? Frilly stuff, you know, on the carpet. If we choose one or the other, have we served someone other than God by making one decision or the other? No, because it's just carpet. You haven't compromised your character because you wanted the frilly things on the carpet, or you wanted blue, or you wanted green. Or if we wanted to paint the walls gray, is that like compromising our relationship with the Lord and serving someone other than God? No, it just means we pick gray paint. Again, that's an illustration. So I want to hear no conversation after we get out about we painting the walls or we putting down new carpet. I'm just using that as illustration. So let me give you another one. This is a big one. Style of music at church. Is the church up the road, down the street, or whatever? Are they compromisers because their version of Pastor Joe's playing a guitar? No. What if they have an electric guitar? What if they have drums? No. Because you know, God made all of those things. Like He gave people the knowledge to make those things. Just because of the instrument don't mean it's bad. So if we had a drum and a guitar, are we compromising God's word? No. You may not like that style. That's okay. That's your preference. So we've got a distinct preference is different than where God's word is, right? Man, I'm telling you what, I love a good guitar solo. Man, oh man, electric guitar solo just does my heart good every now and then. I love a good guitar solo. Am I compromising because I love a good guitar solo? No, just means I like a good guitar solo. You may not. That's cool. I'm fine if you don't. You can leave it to me to listen to. That's cool, right? Let me give you some other ones. What about if you just one day decided, hey, I just, you were talking with your buddy and at work or you're over the phone or whatever, and you know that they wanted you to, or you wanted just to kind of do whatever you wanted to do. If it just seems right to me, I'm going to make that decision. Irrespective of what the Bible says, what I've been raised to, what my mom and dad told me, my grandparents, I'm just going to do whatever seems right to me. Is that a okay compromise? Absolutely not. You know why? Because the Bible says our hearts are deceptively wicked above all else. And if you do what you want to do, you're not going to do what God wants you to do. Right? Very simple. I had some other adult references, but I remembered our kids were going to be in here today. So there are a lot of things in life that you can get into as adults or as teenagers or as kids that are absolutely going to compromise your relationship with the Lord, your integrity, and your character. Kids, if somebody asks you if they can look on your paper at the next test, is that something that you should compromise on? No. Why? Because God says that we shouldn't cheat and lie and steal, and that's what that is, right? And so we've got to ask ourselves, listen, is this something that is going to change who's the master of our life? And if the answer is yes, you don't need to do it. If the answer is no, it's okay. And so we've got to learn the difference between the two. Now, the question that I had as I was looking through this lesson and I was planning this lesson out, I don't know if you've had it this morning, is this. How can we make a definitive call on which ones are yes and which ones are no? Right? Because we just made definitive calls on it's okay to go to the restaurant. It doesn't really matter about carpet or paint. It, style of music is okay. But lying and cheating and doing whatever we want to do, those things are bad. How can we make definitive calls on this? And I'm not trying to be anticlimactic or give you something you already know, but reality is reality. And here's the thing. It's interesting that Mr. Richard's here this morning because what you need to be in is what he is giving out to people. The only way that you're going to know the difference between where God's at and where God's not is if you're reading your Bible. Right? The only way you're going to know where what compromise looks like and what compromise doesn't look like is this if you're reading your Bible. Because the Bible has everything you need for life and faith. And if you're not in your Bible, you're not going to know which one is a good compromise and which one is a bad compromise. And where God says yes and where God says no. And then where God is kind of leaves it up to us. Right? Because God doesn't say, Valley Grove Baptist Church, you must have green carpet and khaki taupe walls. That's not in there. So guess what that's up to? Personal preference. And you've got to know which one is which, because listen to me, if you don't, you will confuse the two. And Jesus says, listen. Jesus says, if you confuse the two, you will end up with someone taking dock in the harbor of your life, and they will get out of their ship, and they will start running your life, because that's what he means by someone serving another master other than God. You can only serve God, or you can only serve something else. And if you don't know which is okay, you're going to mix up the two and you're going to have someone or something running your life. And if that's the case, it will not lead you to serving and loving God the way you ought to. So how do we make up our minds about which compromise is good and which compromise is bad? Well, we've got to ask ourselves the question, is this decision going to cause me to serve someone other than God? And the only way we can know is if we're in God's Word consistently searching, reading, and praying. So here's your challenge for this week. Here's your challenge for this week. As you go home, as you go to lunch, on Monday when you're at work, taking, you know, that 15-minute break, think about this. Ask yourself, what values, core beliefs are essential to my integrity and my character? What values or core beliefs are essential to my integrity and my character? Right? What is essential to my character, my integrity, as the Lord sees it? Like, as the Lord has impressed, as I read the Bible, what is essential to character and integrity? And here's the next question. Am I willing to keep them no matter the cost? Because listen to me, kids. You're going to lose some friends along the way. And that's not a bad thing. Teenagers, there's some people you're going to be friends with today that in 4, 5, 6, 7 years you're not going to be friends with. And that's okay. Because it's more important that you have your integrity and your character than you compromise where God says you don't need to compromise. Right? And so we've got to be willing to hold what God said is important no matter the cost. All right? So are you willing to do that today? That's the question. Pray with me. Lord, thank you for another opportunity to be here at Valley Grove today. Lord, to hear from you. And I thank you for speaking into our hearts and lives today. Lord, I pray that you would continue to move in and through us. And Lord, I know that we are faced with many compromises along the way. Some are good, some are terrible. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn what the difference is between the two. Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn what is most important in your eyes. Lord, I pray that you would teach us and grow us, Lord, so that whatever is important to you is important to us. And wherever you say yes, we say yes. And wherever you say no, we say no. Lord, help us to be people of your word. Help us to be people who follow you. No matter the cost, no matter the circumstances. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Lord, we thank you for all that you are doing in our hearts and lives each and every day. And Lord, we pray that you continue to move today. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.